pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager! That just happened! Thank you very much!
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And welcome back, Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill here. Glad you're here once again. A rough weekend for the Seattle Mariners that we'll talk about coming up in a few minutes. A lot of news items to get to today as the road trip continues. So we'll preview the matchup today. It is Felix Day, and it is a great day for Felix Day. And we'll talk about the three games coming up with the Angels before the Mariners finally get to return home. There's an epic bullpen banter on the way that you don't want to miss. It's simply sensational. Also, week that was is coming up as well. We'll hear from Lloyd McClendon. We'll hear from Austin Jackson, a little bit hobbled after the game yesterday. And we'll talk about Nelson Cruz and his homers. A lot of homers for Nelson Cruz, riding himself into Mariners history. We'll talk more about it, too, as we move through the week. But we'll touch on it a little bit here. So a ton to get to. So we'll start talking about this weekend a little bit, but we won't dwell on it too long. So the Mariners swept in a four-game series, three of them over the weekend, losing three one-run ball games along the way. Thursday 3-2, Friday 4-3, Sunday 7-6, and Saturday losing 11-4. And well, for the Rangers, it's remarkable. They've won 10 ball games in a row, one of the longest winning streaks in their franchise's history. Their longest was 12 games. They're closing in on that. They're 18-7 now in first place in the West, but also the best record in the American League. They've won 14 of their past 15 ball games, and they're off to their best start in franchise history. Through 25 games, they are 18-7. Everything going right for the Houston Astros, and was all on display in this series. You know, we've talked about it so much with the Mariners. It's the little things that have been haunting them, and it's the little things that really cost them this series. Because you look at it, a four-game sweep, but then you dive into each game individually. I mean, the three one-run games, it's a couple plays here, a couple plays there that really turned those ball games. So what was a four-game sweep could have easily been taking 2 of 4 or even 3 of 4. And again, the little things, and I'll go into a couple of examples from the game yesterday. But what's amazing, you look at the numbers, and the pitching for the M's against Texas was just stellar. The Rangers only batting 202 in that series. They only scored 4 runs. They only walked 4 times. They didn't hit any home runs. Against Houston, it was a different story. The Astros batted 290 against the Mariners in the four-game set. 25 runs, 12 walks, and 11 home runs. The Mariners as a staff just coughed up 14 home runs in April. Already 11 home runs hit by the Astros. As the wind blown out in a couple of those ball games, but the Astros able to get them in the air. And it just was home run derby at times, including a game record at their ballpark.
Walker looked back, and the 1-1 swing and a fly ball. Well hit. Left center field. This one is going and going, and goodbye baseball. Up by one of the terraces above the yellow stripe in left center field. Little Jose Altuve with his third home run of the season, a 3-run home run. And the Astros now lead 8-3.
Yeah, on Friday night, Rolynis Elias got the call for the M's, and he pitched pretty well. 6 innings, 3 earned runs. I think you take that every time. And he struck out 8 Astros. The Mariners, though, couldn't get much churning offensively until the 9th inning when they played long ball a couple of times, and one of them was long, long, long ball.
Pitch by Gregerson, swinging a high drive deep to left field. This one's going to the locomotive, and it hits the train. Onto the track, it hit the train out in left center field. Holy smokes, what a shot by Nelson Cruz. Wow, the Mariners on the board here in the 9th inning. It's now the Astros 4 and the Mariners 2.
A ridiculous home run by Nelson Cruz. It hit the train in left center field. Left center field, not left field down the line, left center field, a mammoth home run by Nelson Cruz. We'll talk about his home runs coming up in a second. He has walloped a lot of them. Logan Morrison going deep as well.
The 2-2. Swing and a well-hit ball deep to right field. Going and going. Goodbye, baseball! Logan Morrison, a home run to straightaway right field. His second home run of the season. And the Mariners pull it within one of Houston.
Yeah, Mariners hit a couple home runs in the ninth inning, pull within one, but lose the ball game, a one-run game, 4-3. Also played some long ball the day after. Again, Nelson Cruz just crushing it.
A swing and a drive deep to left field. Way back, going and going. Goodbye, baseball. This one hit above the bleachers in left field, below the train tracks. Cruz does it again. Another home run, his 12th of the season. Last night he hit the train. This one out of here to left field, underneath that light tower, and the Mariners lead the Astros by a score of 1-0. This guy is on a home run tear early in the season. There goes number 12.
And then Nelson Cruz would come up in the sixth inning again. But before we get to the at-bat, I want to roll it back to our pregame show. You know, Picks to Click, a segment made famous by Mike Blowers a few years ago when he absolutely nailed down exactly when a home run was going to happen. We do it every day on the broadcast. And Rick Riz, before the ball game, this is what he said.
Okay, and I'm going to go with a man that hit that tee shot last night. I'm going to go with Nelson Cruz. He may hit one completely out of the ballpark tonight. Hit the train up there on top of the wall in left center field. Nelson Cruz, my pick to click.
Okay, there it is. Completely out of the ballpark. So here he is, striding the plate in the sixth inning.
Cruz now with 12 home runs and 24 runs batted in. Shift on for him. Three defenders in the infield, left side. Breaking ball, hit a ton. Deep left field. That might leave the entire ballpark, and it did. Boomstick, baby. Man, did he kill it.
So out of the ballpark, just as Rick Riz called, but certainly not enough in this ball game as the Astros take it to the M's 11-4. It was a game where, you know, we talked about the little things adding up. And that's, to me, that's the beauty of baseball. You talk about a three-run home run, for example, making a huge difference in the ball game. But you have to talk about what leads up to that three-run home run that even makes it possible. A great at-bat to draw a walk, hitting a ball the other way, and shooting it through the hole to get a couple of guys on. You know, it's the little things in baseball that add up to wins and losses. And that game was a great example of, you know, the Mariners make a couple of miscues early, a couple of errors early on, a balk along the way, a ball that drops in for a double that shouldn't have. You know, that sort of thing really cost the Mariners in that ball game as the Astros, they get to Taijuan Walker, the starter. They put 11 runs on the board. They also had a tremendous defensive play by their center fielder that was maybe one of the catches of the year. It was pretty ridiculous.
McHugh set, pitch, swung on and hit well. Straightaway center field. Going up near the hill. Mariznick up on the hill. Oh, my goodness, he made the catch. He made the catch going up Towles Hill. McHugh had his helmet off and his hands behind his head, exasperated and excited, and can't believe that Mariznick, who is a fabulous athlete, ran that baby down.
What a great catch. Mariznick in center field. He's running full sprint. You just see his numbers from behind home plate. Full sprint to get that baseball. Logan Morrison just unloaded. Would have been out anywhere else. He's running, sprinting, trying to get to that baseball. He has his eye on it as he looks up. Then he steps on the hill and either a dive or a fall forward as he lunges forward after taking the step full speed on that hill in center field. And he reaches out and he makes an incredible catch and kind of skids up the hill. It was just an amazing thing to see. Here he was the next day talking about what a grab it was. And to add a little salt to the wound, his relationship with Logan Morrison.
Man, I hadn't seen anybody go up on that hill and make a play yet. So when that ball was hit, I was like, oh, that ball's hit good. I didn't think I was going to be able to get to it. And then I looked back up at it. I was like, this is going to be the one up on the hill right here. And I was able to run it down. I mean, if you watch, I kind of get jammed up a little bit my feet and end up going down because of it. And, I mean, you're just not used to it. You don't know. You don't really know how to run on it when you're trying to chase down a fly ball.
Yeah. Now, you and Lomo, teammates in Miami, and we were just talking, Lomo's had nothing but hard luck. He's had a lot of balls hit hard that have been caught. Do you guys email or anything, or you know, overnight or anything, or you get a chance to talk to him?
Yeah, I talked to him. He's not too happy with me. Like you said, yeah, it's a guy that I play with over in Miami, and actually went to his wedding and everything, and been close with him. But I mean, once we get on that field, it's take no prisoners. He hits a ball out there, it's getting caught.
And he didn't take any prisoners. That was a great catch, though, by Marisnik. Now back to Nelson Cruz for a second. 13 home runs. You know, he came into yesterday having more home runs than the Chicago White Sox, and he trailed a handful of other teams, four other teams, with 14 home runs. Nelson Cruz comes in with 13. And what's remarkable, in a team's first 24 games, it's the second most home runs ever. Albert Pujols, Alex Rodriguez both had 14 home runs in their team's first 24 games. But Nelson Cruz, with those 13 blasts, joined Cy Williams of the 23 Phillies, Willie Mays of the 64 Giants, Mike Schmidt of the 76 Phillies, Ken Griffey Jr. of the 97 Mariners, and Luis Gonzalez of the Diamondbacks in 2001 as players that have hit 13 homers in their team's first 24 games. It's just incredible the home run binge he has been on. And here he was after the game. In a losing effort, but still talking about the kind of run he has been on.
I think I've been in a group, pretty nice group, the last few weeks, so it's nice. Hopefully I keep doing that, you know, and hopefully I get some runners on and I can do that damage also, you know. It looks like every time I got runners on, and I left it up there, or, you know, I hit it too hard.
Have you ever been, Nelson, on a streak like you have, and not just the whole couple of weeks, but the whole season, 24 games, it's been amazing. Have you been this hot before for this long?
I don't think, maybe last year in May, probably. You know, I was really hot, you know. I mean, I don't remember numbers a while, but I remember it was pretty hot. But I think experience, it helped you to stay more consistent, you know, and have a better approach, you know, what to expect from pitches.
Yeah, he pinpointed it last year in May. Hit 339 with 13 home runs, 27 RBIs, and 8 doubles. Had 39 hits in the month. Also walked 11 times. A mammoth month last year. Probably the best of his career any single month. But, yeah, he's in that kind of groove right now, though. He continues to get it done in the middle of the order for the Mariners. But wasn't enough in this series. And then yesterday was an interesting case of another one-run loss, a 7-6 ball game. The Mariners last year, of course, just nails when they scored 5 or plus runs. It was basically automatic. They were 55-4. This year it's been a different story, just 4-5, scoring 5 or more runs. And, you know, I look back at the game yesterday, and it really, to me, comes down to just a couple of pitches. And Houston's a pretty interesting team right now in terms of what they're doing offensively. They hit a ton of home runs leading Major League Baseball. They draw a ton of walks. They're among the leaders in the American League, second in the American League in walks. They're also the leader in stolen bases and strikeouts. So pretty much the true outcomes. They'll walk, they'll strike out, they'll hit a home run. And if they manage to get on base, they'll swipe it. I mean, coming into the game yesterday, they had 4 regulars in the top 10 in strikeouts in the American League, with Carter and Springer tied for third, Rasmus 6th, and Gattis 10th. Springer may be the prototypical Astro. Draws a lot of walks, hits for a ton of power. He'll do a lot of damage, not hitting for a high average. They only have a couple guys hitting for high average, and that's Altuve, of course, and Marisnik, and everyone else just kind of doing the power, walk, strikeout, low average thing. And yesterday, you know, Evan Gattis was the one that did a ton of damage. He unloaded on a ball in the first inning.
Pitch on the way to Gattis, swinging a drive, deep to left field, going and going, goodbye baseball. A 3-run home run by Evan Gattis here in the bottom of the first inning. They hit 5 home runs last night. They already have 1 this afternoon, his 5th home run of the season. with Gonzalez and Springer aboard. And the Astros jump out to a 3-0 lead here in the first.
And this is what I mean about little things costing you a game. Two pitches, one of them right there, a changeup by Happ over the middle, and another one later in the ball game after the Mariners tied it up, a hanging slider by Carson Smith, the first run he's given up in his big league career, nearing 20 innings, and finally gives up a run, a solo jack by Gattis. But Gattis is a guy, we'll go a little deep in the weeds here for a second, but he's a guy that swings at balls outside of the zone a ton. You look at a swing rate at balls outside of the zone, 46%. That's second worst in all of baseball. So he swings a ton out of the zone. He's been getting himself out quite a lot doing it, you know, batting below 200. And, you know, I mean, we've seen in just his short career so far, he'll do a lot of damage if you let him. He's got a lot of power. He did it in Atlanta last year. He's doing it with Houston this year. And it was just two pitches that got too much of the plate. I mean, the changeup was dead red down the middle, and the slider just hung there right over the middle. A guy that you want to paint the corners and even go outside the zone, especially when you're up in the count, but they couldn't quite get there and just left two pitches hang. It's just, you know, two guys that have pitched great, Happ, who struggled in the ballgame yesterday, and Smith, obviously, but just two pitches that weren't executed. And the way Houston's playing, of course, and that should be the, you know, that shouldn't be lost in this whole discussion, is Houston is playing great baseball, and they made the Mariners pay for each and every mistake, and that's what happens when a team is playing so well. I mean, they're playing some of the best ball they have as a franchise. That's how good they're playing. But those two pitches were key. I mean, that's four runs right there on the board by one guy in Evan Gattis. So just a little example, and it's little things like that that happened throughout the series that led to the four-game sweep. The Mariners, to their credit, though, they did battle late in the ball game. They put a run on the board in the sixth inning, and they got four in the seventh inning to tie up the score.
Pitch swung on and hit well. Center field, long run, Marisnik. Not going to get it up on the hill. Here comes Morrison. Zunino right behind him. A two-run double by Ricky Weeks. Ricky Weeks has made this a 6-5 ball game.
And then he would tie it, but the Mariners would go down 7-6. And here was Lloyd McClendon talking about this game specifically, and also a couple of roster moves made after the ball game as well.
They played extremely well, but I will say this. We didn't make quality pitches when we needed to. We elevated some breaking balls, and they took advantage of them. And, you know, when teams are hot and they're swinging good, you got to make good pitches, and we didn't do it. We put ourselves in a position to win. It just didn't happen.
Better offensively for you guys today?
Swung the bats better. I'm proud of the way the guys really stepped up. This was a tough game, and could easily just lay down, but they really fought back and really grinded it out when things were not going our way, and I think that shows a lot of fortitude, which leads me to believe this team is going to be just fine.
What did you see from Happ overall?
He battled. He didn't have his best stuff, particularly his secondary stuff. I thought his fastball was real good. Beginning left some breaking balls. And a couple changeups up that they hit out of the ballpark, you know, two run homer and a three run homer. It's hard to overcome those things.
Play with Miller, they overruled. You went out and talked to them. What were you looking at there?
Well, I was just asking about a rule that we're going to check on it. But, you know, we were told that when the foot is hovering over the plate, it's the same as touching the plate. We'll see what they say about the rule. That is what it is. We're also going to – we made two moves today. We optioned Olsen to AAA, and we optioned Medina to AAA. We'll make corresponding moves tomorrow in relation to those.
Any reason for those two? I mean,
I think in the case of both of them, you know, location and execution is important. Medina was elevated quite a bit. We need to get some things straightened out. And it's hard to get us straightened out here in the big leagues. It's just almost impossible. Both of those kids need to go down and get a couple things straightened out, and they'll be fine.
So there it is. As I tape this, no word officially on who is coming up. By the time you're listening to this, we may know for sure who will fill those two roster spots as Medina and Olsen going down. Also want to do credit Happ, who struggled in this game, who has pitched really well for the M's this year. He did record seven outs in a row to end his outing. He gave the Mariners a chance to come back and eventually tie the ball game. Also, Austin Jackson had to leave the ball game to hurt his ankle, and here is what he had to say on how he was feeling after the ball game.
Well, just trying to avoid his foot, and hit the corner of the bag and just rolled my ankle. That's pretty much it.
How does it feel right now?
Oh, it's a little sore since it just happened. I think a good thing is, I've rolled my ankle quite a few times in the past, so there wasn't much swelling, which is a good thing. So really just kind of coming in tomorrow, just getting reevaluated and kind of taking it from there. So
think you'd be able to avoid the DL? I mean, you think it's...
Hopefully. I've done it before and, been able to come back from it pretty quick. So hopefully this is one of those times that, it's not too bad. So.
And that was Austin Jackson after the ball game. So here, we'll play it forward now. The Mariners still have a chance. We're looking at silver linings here. Still have a chance to make this a good trip. Sweeping aside the Rangers, getting swept by the Astros, but they have still three left against the Angels. They can make this a winning trip if they take the series. And, I've talked so much about the little things adding up to these losses in these four games, and really it's kind of been a trend so far this season. It's all little things they're capable of cleaning up and capable of turning around. I mean, that's, I think, the most important part when you consider where this team can go moving forward and put things together. And it can come together quickly if they clean those things up defensively, getting runners in. I mean, getting the little things done, they can make it happen. And that's when you see a series like this getting swept in four games, they can turn it around and even win a series like that, just cleaning up the little things and getting it done and getting wins. And, of course, it can start today. Boy, today is a great day to have Felix Hernandez on the hill. A streak stopper. It's why you love having an ace at the top, and they could use a good outing from Felix Hernandez. It's interesting. There's some parallels to last season where this team is at. Mike Blowers talked about that before the game yesterday.
1 year ago, after 24 games, the Mariners have the same record as they do right now at 10-14. They got things turned around. They went 77-61 the rest of the way. The question is, Mike, is how much better equipped is this year's ball club to also get things turned around?
Well, I think that they are. I think I look at them, and I think this is a better ball club. Sometimes, and it's difficult, Rick, because these guys play every day, and, every day the win and the loss makes such a big difference, but you really have to go back and look at things, and when you consider the way that their schedule started for them, Iwakuma going down, although I would say Elias has pitched well, the starting rotation not getting off to the start that you would like to see, so the bullpen gets taxed. There's a lot of things that were going on, and you and I have talked about this every year since I've been doing this job. I think that first month is so difficult because so many guys are just trying to get their feet on the ground.
Right.
All of that being said, they have the same record right now that they had last year. They won 87 games last year, and Nelson Cruz is not going anywhere. The veterans that they have on their bench, those guys are not going anywhere. And I think that the guys that they have in the lineup will play better. So in my mind, absolutely. I think that they're going to have a better record, and this is a better team than what they had last year.
And that starting staff has a young Taiwan Walker in it, hopefully the entire season, and a James Paxton, two kids that will get things figured out.
Well, what you can expect is inconsistency, and I think you have to be fair. The expectations for both these guys are really high, and anybody that watches them can certainly understand why. But they're inexperienced, and they're trying to figure a lot of this stuff out, and they're going to have days when things aren't going to go well. And for younger pitchers, it's difficult for them to try to right the ship enough and hang in there to give their club a chance to win on those days when things aren't going well, like they didn't go well for Walker yesterday. You look at Felix. One of the great things with Felix is even when he doesn't have his best stuff, he can control the damage. Now, Felix is special, but even go to Jay Happ. Jay Happ, a veteran guy, can do the same thing. And what I mean by that is maybe on a day they don't have anything, they go out and they give you six innings and they only give up four runs, maybe even five. You have an opportunity. Younger pitchers typically can't do that. They're going to go through runs, though, where they're going to be terrific. And everybody's eyes are going to be wide open going, wow, these guys are something. But I think the pitching is going to be fine. I think the bullpen is finally in good shape. Offensively is where their challenge has been right now. But I think more than anything else, I think that there are some fundamental things that the guys are just not taking care of consistently right now that they can fix and get worked out. These are veteran guys. We're not talking about a bunch of kids. They have to clean up their defense. They have to run the bases a little bit better. And then fundamentally, when things are happening for them offensively, they can make their lives a lot easier by moving a runner over at second with nobody out, runner at third, less than two outs, get those guys in at a better rate than they have. Yeah. And that's where the struggle has been. And if you do that, I think that, you know, things, they'll get on a nice run at some point.
There was Mike Blowers, and I think he summed up things pretty well. So let's put this weekend in the rearview mirror. Let's move on. And this will put a smile on your face because this bullpen banter is absolutely epic. No singing in this one, but some international flavor. You're going to enjoy it. Here it is, Bullpen Banter with Charlie Furbush.
Hoy, 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 hoy! Today, another day, another wonderful day here in Houston. And I'm back with Bullpen Banter. Today, my special guest is Dominic Leone. And luckily enough for all the people that are listening, it is international accent Swing It Saturdays. Swing It Sundays. Who knows what day it is? Doesn't matter. Anyways, Dom, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here. Good to be here out in the dugout in Houston.
It's a wonderful day, beautiful day here. Where do you call your humble home?
I grew up down in Sydney, moved over to South Carolina, and now reside down there. So that's kind of where it all started for me.
Now, can you give me your best impression or a description of a South Carolina barbecue?
All right, good South Carolina barbecue. Let's see. It's going to have some baked beans, a little coleslaw, a little, you know, some fried pickles. Got to have fried pickles. The pickle chips, not the pickle spears. You got to roast a hog, you know what I mean?
All right, well, let's just bring it back to the normal edition of Bullpen Banter. Have you ever been ejected from a baseball game?
Yes. Summer league baseball in high school, I attempted to jump over the catcher at home plate and didn't do that. The guy was about 6'4". You know, he was blocking the plate. I didn't just want to slide into him or run him over, so I tried to jump over him. I ended up knocking him over, and the ump tossed me.
We did do a Boston accent the last time I had you on this wonderful show. I mean, do we need to bring it back out now, or should we wait?
I mean, it's totally up to you. It's one of those things that, you know, we can turn on and off. We can do it whenever. It doesn't matter where we are. You know, we're here in Houston. Who cares? You know, we can do it.
Well, you know, I was in the car today, and I drove here to the park, and I thought about it, said, you know what, Dom? I think if we could just have a switch to leave permanently on for a Boston accent, then I think we should do it.
I think we should too. Hey, quick side note. Did you see the ball that Nelly hit? Did you see how far that thing went?
I think that ball is still traveling. It is crazy how far it went. I mean, it was hit wicked hard, and it went wicked far.
That was the most wicked hard and wicked far ball I've seen in a long time. This is my thing. I was concerned for the people out in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Getting in that car, fumbling with the keys, and all of a sudden the ball came out of the park and hits that car. Great day for Nelly. Cruise control, no cruise control, 100 miles per hour, bomb, boomstick.
Boomstick is right. Homa on Homa on top of Homa.
His Homas look like Nomas did back in the day.
Yeah, that's true. Do you think that if we hit two Homas ourselves, that it would be as far as one of Nelly Cruz's Homa?
I don't know. I don't know if I can hit the ball that far or that hard. You know, you would have to pick up some of the slack because, you know, I'd maybe get it about, you know, that little porch over there and left, you know, about 300, and then you can carry it the extra 650 feet over the rail car that was up there.
The old orange train, whatever they got up there. You know, what do you think
the funniest thing that you ever did during a ball game. Let's see, maybe your most embarrassing moment, you know? Did you maybe have an accident on the field? I don't know. What do you got?
All right, funniest thing I ever did at a baseball game was in college. And so, you know, in college teams, you know, they have, like, the rally stuff and, like, teams are doing the crazy hat flip-overs and rubs and all that type of stuff. So I grabbed a body blade. We were down 2 runs in the ninth. I grabbed one of those body blades, and I was a starter in college, so I had the day off. And I stood at the very front of the dugout with the body blade, and I shook it like I was doing some, like, wizardry towards the pitcher. I would, like, get in weird stances and shake it, and after every pitch, I'd stop, and I'd stretch out, and then I'd go a different position, and I'd shake it, and...
How'd it work? Did it kind of mess up the pitcher?
We came back and won. The other thing, too, if you want video evidence, is the Clemson-Davidson rain delay. Look it up on YouTube.
Are you in it?
I'm one of the front runners in it. We did a bunch of different skits. It was a rain delay. We ended up replaying the game at like 1 o'clock in the morning. The rain delay stuff was great. I mean, everything from we replayed the Doug Flutie Hail Mary.
You were the QB. You were Flutie.
I was Doug.
Did you eat those Flutie flakes before you did it?
Yeah, duh.
All right, that was Don McLeone here. And Charlie Furbush, we're out. Hope you enjoyed another edition of Bullpen Banter. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, that was a classic. That was an all-timer. Bullpen Banter, always a Monday favorite. Now we're going to turn things over to the week that was and wrap things up here. And tomorrow, we'll see if we're talking about a win with Felix Hernandez on the hill. Happy Felix Day to all.
This is the week that was.
A look back on highlights and events of the Mariners past week.
On Mariners Magazine.
The stretch and the 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He went right at him with a fastball. Strike three. Figueroa swings and misses. And there is strikeout number one already for Taijuan Walker. And what a start. Two up and two down. And he has strikeout number one. The 1-1 pitch. Swing and a fly ball into center field. Coming up, Jackson. Austin is there. He makes the catch. And the ball game is over. The Mariners win it. A final score of 3-1 over the Rangers tonight here in Texas. Jay Reddy, the windup. And the 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. And he did it. He strikes out Martin. Holy smokes, he struck out the side in the fourth. He strikes out the side here in the fifth. 9 strikeouts tonight for Jay Happ. Detweiler delivers. Swing and a well-hit ball deep to left field. Going and going. Goodbye, baseball. Line shot home run. Ricky Weeks, his second home run of the season. Over the tall wall in left here at Globe Life Park. And that was shot out of a cannon. Swing and a pop-up. Left side of the infield. Brad Miller is there, and he squeezes it for the final out of the ball game, and the Mariners win it. A final score of 2-1 over the Texas Rangers tonight.
Pitch on the way.
Swing and a drive deep to left field. Going and going. Goodbye, baseball. Into the second level. There's 3 of them here at Globe Life Park, and that was a screaming meme. Nelson Cruz with his 10th home run of the season. That ball got out of here in a hurry.
Man, that ball got out of here in a hurry. You know, anything travels that far ought to have a stewardess on it, don't you think?
It comes at the 3-2 pitch. The fielder swung on and missed. He struck him out. Felix with strikeout number 4, 1 away from tying Santana for the most strikeouts by a Venezuelan pitcher.
And the 1-1. Swing and a ground ball to Brad Miller at short. He's got it. The throw to first in time to get Smolinski. And Felix Hernandez is the all-time leader in Mariner history for innings pitched. Now with 2,093 and a third innings as he moves by Jamie Moyer. A club record for Felix Hernandez. And they take that ball out of the ballgame. A great souvenir for the King. You are unbelievable. The 2-2 on the way. Figueroa swing and a miss. Strike three. And this ballgame is over. The Mariners sweep the Texas Rangers. They win it tonight. A final score of 5-4. And for the Mariners, their first sweep here in Texas since April of 2002.
I know how good we are, but we can do better. And it's worked in those 3 games.
T-minus 4, 3, 2.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Pitch by Gregerson. Swing and a high drive. Deep to left field. This one's going to the locomotive. And it hits the train. Onto the track. It hit the train out in left center field. Holy smokes. What a shot by Nelson Cruz. A swing and a drive deep to left field. Way back, going and going. Goodbye, baseball. This one hit above the bleachers in left field, below the train tracks. Cruz does it again. Another home run, his 12th of the season.
That ball wouldn't have been out of a lot of parks.
Name one.
Yellowstone.
Okay, and I'm going to go with a man that hit that tee shot last night. I'm going to go with Nelson Cruz. He may hit one completely out of the ballpark tonight. Hit the train up there on top of the wall in left center field. Nelson Cruz, my pick to click.
Cruz now with 12 home runs and 24 runs batted in. Shift on for him. Three defenders in the infield, left side. Breaking ball hit a ton. Deep left field. That might leave the entire ballpark, and it did. Boomstick, baby. Man, did he kill it.
This is my boomstick.